Thank you, Paul. It's very nice to be here. Over the years, I've heard a lot about Frodsham, either from Paul or from Alan and Brent. And he's tried to describe it in all sorts of ways, but it's nice to be here and see you in situ. Paul worked so hard for many years at Gillingham, and we appreciated all that he did, working with young people and then with the adults in the community as well. Not quite sure about you being the apprentice. I think we learned a lot from you as well, Paul. So thank you. Last Thursday, Tuesday, we had an induction service in Gillingham for the new vicar at St Mark's, and a nice service. Trina, who is the new vicar there, was prayed for and blessed and put into situation, as it were. And the sermon was given by the Bishop of Tunbridge. And his theme was love. And he began by saying something which was very sensible, but worth repeating. And that is that the English word love is really hopelessly inadequate to express what we mean by love. He gave examples of how we use that. I might say I love lemon meringue pie, but I might also say I love my wife, and it's the same word, but the depth of meaning between the two things are a little bit poles apart. The Greeks were much cleverer than we. Because they, according to C.S. Lewis, they had four words for love. There was philos, there was eros, there was storge, and there was the word that we are more familiar with. All those are in the New Testament, and there is also the word agape, and it's agape that we come across famously in 1 Corinthians 13, and here in John chapter 30 as well. The bit that we can often miss when we read that passage is just at the end of verse 1, which I'm very fond of. Jesus says, having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them, same word again, to the end. He loved them to the end. And John's ever so good at ambiguity. He often uses a phrase that could have a couple of different meanings. And that's one of them. He loved them to the end. What does that mean? Does that mean he loved them to the end of his life? In other words, is it about the cross? Or is it just a phrase in general? He loved them to the uttermost. Is a phrase that is sometimes used. But it's John is trying to express the depth and the extravagance and the extent of Jesus' love. Jesus' love for his disciples, and by association, Jesus' love for each one of us here this morning as well. Jesus loves us to the uppermost. Jesus loves us to the full extent, to the end. And we need to remember that when you don't feel particularly special, when you don't feel particularly bright, when you don't feel that you're on good form, when you beat yourself up because you've done something wrong and you've let him down or let others down, Jesus loves us to the uttermost. Jesus loves us to the end. That's the verse here. And to explain and illustrate this whole thing about love, we have the foot washing scene in John's gospel. And I just think this is so illustrative here of who Jesus was. It's just so typical that the insight it gives you into who Jesus is, there is nothing better than this picture here. Here were a group of men who had been out walking through the dusty streets of Israel during the day, their sandaled feet, and they come to the evening meal, where normally, because of the state of ponginess of their feet, somebody really needed to give their collective feet a wash. Who was going to do it? There were no servants there on that occasion. And you can just imagine the disciples, and they're all looking round at each other thinking, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. And Jesus, knowing what was going on, goes and gets the towel and goes and gets the water. And Jesus bends down at these grubby, smelly feet, one by one by one, washes, wipes, dries their feet. The embarrassment must have been palpable. It would have cut the atmosphere. It's so electric. Jesus did. And then there is the lesson that he draws from it. Now that I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. You should do as I have done for you. Jesus is the servant king, and he invites us to be servants one of another as well. This is how Jesus illustrates his love, and this is how Jesus describes to us what our love needs to look like as well. We have got to be willing to stoop and serve one another in humility. That's the pattern, that's the picture, that's the example he sets here. Now, if you know anything about John's gospel, you know that John is very clever in the structure that he has. And inevitably, what he does, he has a story and then he has a theology bit. So we have in John 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And then from the feeding of the 5,000, he goes on to the discourse, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 9, we have the healing of a man born blind. And then we have a discourse on spiritual blindness. In John chapter 11, we have the raising of Lazarus. And then after the raising of Lazarus, we have the discourse, I am the resurrection and life. That's how the gospel is structured. Story and theology, story and theology, story and theology. You come to John 13, you get the same thing, but we miss it. We miss it in John 13, partly because there's a story then about Jesus predicting his betrayal, but also because the theologizing is very brief. And you find it in verse 34 and 35 of the same gospel. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Story, theology. Story, theology. Story, theology. Washing the feet, and love one another. That's how that. What does loving one another look like? When I was a young Christian, my home church was Wakefield Baptist Church, although I was converted at university and only came back to Wakefield and had to look round for a church and found Wakefield Baptist Church. And there's a young couple in the church, a few years older than me, Dave and Mary. And Dave and Mary used to invite me back to their house after services, and they used to plonk me down in this wonderful rocking chair. And they'd ply me with coffee and cake, some and cheese and biscuits, I seem to remember. And then sometimes we'd have a meal. And they did this over and over and over again for months, couple of years, while I was sort of settling into church life. When Sharon, who we weren't, I don't think we were even engaged at that point, she needed accommodation in Wakefield. Dave and Mary put her up, and I used to come and collect her from Dave and Mary's and then take her to love one another. That was love in action. In when I got called to the Baptist ministry, Wakefield Baptist Church said they would support me in that ministry. So not only did I get, when I started training for the ministry, not only did I get a local education authority discretionary grant. No loans in those days. Not only did I get a grant, but Wakefield Baptist Church, for the 3 years I was there, every term, sent me a check to cover my living costs. Love one another. In our first church in Gloucester, we had a wonderful woman called Marjorie, and Marjorie was our church secretary. And very tragically, Marjorie died, leaving her husband and their teenage daughter. Poor Ron, her husband, couldn't boil an egg. How was he going to look after his teenage daughter? But the church rallied round one way or another. And every week, Marjorie's great friend, Monica, every week, Monica used to take round a cake. Ron was very partial to cake. She did that for years and years while Heather was love one another. And in our last church in Derby, Sharon had a hip replacement. Two hip replacements. And at least on one of those occasions, we've got two small children. Shirley Stanley used to come round once a week and do a pile of ironing. And it was such a help. There were so many things I could do. Sharon wouldn't bear to see me trying to do. But Shirley came and loved one another. That's what love looks like, in expressions of service, in expressions of support, in expressions of kindness. And the reason that John and Jesus emphasize love one another so much is that it is the hallmark of true Christianity. If you want to know what a difference Jesus can make to your life, if you want to know what Christianity is really all about, then you can do no better than that phrase, love one another. Love is an indication of that something has happened in our lives. We have been shifted from being selfish to selfless. The old nature, the old Adam, has been changed by the love of God in our lives so that now we can love one another. It is a proof that something has happened within us. But more than that, love is the authentic sign of being Christian. Love is a proof that there is something genuine in our lives. In Jesus' day, in the early church, in our day as well, there are so many words that are flung around. People want to dismiss this person because they're not sound or whatever it is. We're good at flinging accusations one at another. But if you want to know the reality, the genuineness of what Christianity is all about, then love one another is the proof. Is the proof. This is real, authentic, true Christianity. Love one another, says Jesus. Love one another. But I want you to notice something else here as well. Story, the foot washing, theology. New command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Then he says this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this everyone that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. Who's the every? Well, the everyone are the outsiders. The everyone are those who are not within the household of faith. Jesus spent so much of his ministry with a small group of people, and there was a slightly larger circle than that. But then beyond that circle were a whole host of other people, the crowd. But so often Jesus bursts out of that circle one and circle two, and Jesus bursts out of those, that household of faith, to go and minister to somebody else and help somebody else, those who are here, those who are sick and needing healing, whoever it may be. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone. Here Jesus is saying that those who are not of the faith, those who are skeptics, those who are doubters, those who are the disinterested, the bewildered, they will be persuaded, they will be convinced of the genuineness of this thing called Christianity by the love that we show for one another and the love that we show to them. Christianity needs to be inward facing, but it also needs to be outward facing as well. Christianity needs to be, in a sense, exclusive, but it also has to be at the same time inclusive. It has to draw others in as well. Christianity isn't something that we can just keep to ourselves. It has to be something that is shared. Isaiah points to something like this in Isaiah chapter 60, where Isaiah gently reminds the people of Israel, you may be called, you may be the chosen one, you may be the elect, you may, but you are also a light to the Gentiles. Your faith is not just for yourself, but it is to be shared, shown to the outside as well. Isaiah needed to tell the people of Israel as well. Love one another, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone. I don't want to embarrass Alan, but I am going to embarrass Alan and Peter. I've been at Green Street for 11 and a half years, Julie. And in those 11 and a half years, Alan and Brenda on a Wednesday morning have run a ministry. Sometimes it's called Friendship Morning, sometimes it's called Coffee Shop. I'm never quite sure which I should be calling it, but anyway. They've been running that for the 11 and a half years I've been here. They were running it for years before that as well. And the people who come on a Wednesday morning to our coffee shop, I think it would be fair to say that they would never, there will be people who would never, ever, ever ordinarily set foot in a place of worship. They are rough and ready. They are Most will be on benefits. Some of them, their personal hygiene leaves a lot to be desired. But they come on a Wednesday. And on a Wednesday, they come knowing that they will meet with friends, knowing that they will get coffee or tea and biscuits, knowing that they will be accepted. They will get a birthday card. There's always a birthday. And I suspect for some of them, it's the only birthday card they'll ever get. Some of them get in a terrible tangle with their finances. And Alan will patiently sit down with them and fill forms in that would deter most of us. But Alan does that. They have prayer. There's always a prayer slot. And the prayer slot's ever so popular. And the moment it's announced, there are hands shooting up all over the place. And sometimes the very, what you might think as trivial things, but they matter to them. And everybody, doesn't matter how trivial their prayer request, everybody is prayed for. Everybody's prayer request is taken seriously. And so we have a lady called Laurie or Lorraine. She started coming on a Wednesday. And after a few months, she started coming on a Sunday. And after a year or so, I baptized her. And now she prays for people and she wants to join the prayer ministry team. Amazing. We've got a lady called Michelle. And Michelle comes sometimes with her two small children, school-aged children. Michelle started coming because her mum used to come. And her mum was very disabled and died very early, but her mum used to come, and so Michelle used to come, and Michelle started coming regularly after her mum died. And then Michelle started coming on a Sunday. And I baptized Michelle as well. Michelle's expecting a baby, her third child. And some of the women in church have said that they're going to put on a baby shower for her. She's never had a baby shower before. I've no idea how excited she is about having a baby shower. And then we've got Wendy. Wendy's been coming for years, her best friend Carol. And Wendy's told me this before. She's told me that she's been to lots of other churches and she's never felt welcomed at other churches because, well, she's never been welcomed. She's not fit in. And she likes Wednesday. She sees Wednesdays as her church. And in February 2018, I baptized her by sprinkling in the coffee shop in front of everybody there. And earlier this year, she wanted to renew her baptismal vows. And so we did it again. And we received her into membership. And we actually did that on a Sunday upstairs in church. And she's been coming regularly ever since on a Sunday. None of that would be possible if it wasn't for the ministry of Alan and Brenda, who have worked so patiently and so carefully, so faithfully and diligently with a large group of people who otherwise would never, ever, ever have come into a place of worship. Jesus says, love one another. And then he says, by this shall everyone that you are my disciples. Everyone. Christianity needs to be inward facing. Yes, it does. We need to love one another, but at the same time, it has to be outward facing as well. It has to be looking out there to the everyone, to the world, to the community, to the town, wherever it is. And as well as loving one another with depth and empathy and quality and commitment, as well as loving one another, we need at the same time to be willing to embrace and reach out and draw in and include others as well. Love one another, Jesus says. Love one another, not as an end in itself, but so that the world might believe. Not as an end in itself, but the world. Let's be quiet for a moment. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you that Jesus showed that love to the uttermost. Help us to recognize that, to appreciate it. Father, help us to learn to love one another more deeply. Help us to look for outlets and expressions where we can show that and illustrate and demonstrate that love and care one for another. But Lord, keep us outward facing as well. And nudge us and show us. Help us to find ways of showing your love to others too. Gently and authentically expressing that same love and care for them, but you. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your holy love. And help us to make a world of difference in each of our spheres of influence in these coming days. We ask in Jesus' name.